Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father through his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. On this LWML Sunday, as we considered during the announcement time from Mariana and Lisa, I give thanks that LWML Sunday does not interrupt the flow of God's Word throughout the year and our lectionary, the appointed readings for every week. For as we hear from Habakkuk today, and as we continue to hear from Jesus today, it builds on what God taught us through Amos 150 years before Habakkuk preached to the people of God. There is a richness in God's word, and every week, every minister goes, where do I begin? What do I include? What do I leave to the side for Bible study another time? We are not going to focus as much on what the Holy Spirit inspired St. Paul to write this week in our epistle, but we are going to focus on Habakkuk the prophet as well as Jesus our Savior when it comes to faith. Faith as small as a mustard seed and what that faith can do for God's glory and for the sake of all of our neighbors around us, whom when we serve them, we are serving Jesus. So Habakkuk was during a time a little bit after Amos. Recall from a couple weeks ago, the prophet Amos was about 150 years before Babylon, before King Nebuchadnezzar came in and conquered Jerusalem, taking their people into captivity, starting with, remember who Amos was primarily warning last week, the richest among those in Jerusalem and Israel who were fine with the ends justify the means. As long as I get wealthy, I'm not really concerned how that affects my neighbors. And Amos spoke unpopularly to them, turn back to the Lord, because if you keep going this way, you rich who don't care about others and putting yourself first, you will be first going into exile. That was 150 years before Habakkuk. Now, the people who have abandoned God's word are reaping those consequences through their children, their grandchildren, their descendants in the time of Habakkuk. The people of Israel in Habakkuk's day in 605 BC, when Habakkuk was written, was the same year that King Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem and in just 6 years later will conquer Jerusalem and drag the people into exile. Why is this important? The God who was with them through Amos is now the God who is speaking through Habakkuk with them in the middle of the besiegement, in the middle of the horrors of warfare. God is close to his people, even as they are facing earthly consequences for not drawing near to his word, not remembering his word. And the wonderful thing about the lectionary, we get two attitudes from Habakkuk. In Habakkuk chapter 1, which you heard Mary read a few minutes ago, Habakkuk 1, verses 1 through 4, did you hear the subtitle that Mary read? You can look in your bulletin. What does it say about what is this message from Habakkuk? What was the tone? Was it happy? Was it joyful? Was everything as fine and dandy? What was it? Mary, what was it? It was a complaint. Confirmation students recall how I try to say to each week, God does not want for you to wait until everything is perfect to go to them in prayer. You angry? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are you frustrated? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are you confused? Are you sad? Are you desperate? Are you completely broken? Go to the Lord in prayer. We get that from Habakkuk. Think about the context of this chapter. If you were a prophet, someone who was called to bring God's word to the people, what would your prayer be if literally the enemies of your nation were starving you to death behind the fortress walls of Jerusalem? You would complain to the Lord. Hey, God, where are you? Where's your divine intervention? People are starving here, not just the soldiers, but the children. God, what are you doing? Where are you, Lord? And goes on throughout the first chapter of Habakkuk, praying to the Lord, complaining about the injustices that are done. And indeed, that is what warfare is it not? Ever since Cain brought warfare in by murdering his younger brother, this injustice that has filled the world by the power of our own hands. This is the complaint that Habakkuk starts with. Here's the first application I want you to have. You don't need to have everything figured out to go to the Lord in prayer. He's not going to say, ew, get away from me until you're ready, until you're cleaner, until you're more worthy. No, God calls you to him in every circumstance. It is never too late in the day. It is never too early in the day to go to the Lord with your prayer. And it might be a prayer of complaint. But then Habakkuk, the Holy Spirit, gives us a wonderful example of faith to follow. Habakkuk complains and laments in chapter 1. And then in chapter 2, the second part of our Old Testament passage, which Mary read, Habakkuk now humbly and patiently waits for God to speak, for God to act. Habakkuk does that which is unpopular to his peers and to us. We want to change the world. We want to do all that we can to help society make a complete 180-degree turn, to turn back to life rather than death. But Habakkuk gives us an example to follow, recognizing he needs the Lord. We need the Lord for this to be accomplished. The world wants all of the answers to every question. In confirmation class, I think we were talking about this today. So do we. We wish we could have all the answers. And we are tempted to forget the answers God has already given. The most important answer, that Jesus is risen from the dead. He has crushed our enemies of sin, of Satan, and of death, our final enemy. And in that peace, we are here in the now and not yet, just like Habakkuk, in the middle of Jerusalem being besieged, terror and horrors all around. To wait for God to answer as he did in his own time through Christ Jesus is way too slow by our human wisdom. But it's a powerful witness to the world around us, even if they're not willing to accept it. Our answer again and again is, Christ is risen. That is why I am here serving you the best I can as your neighbor. Even if our response of giving Christ is risen from the dead and seeking to care for those around us, even if it's not accepted, we gently testify, I'm going to wait for God to answer. I'm going to wait for God to act. And I'm going to wait by serving you and giving you the gospel again and again and again. I cannot fix all that is wrong, but he promises to make all things new, so I'm going to wait for him. There are strong temptations to take heroic action by our own limited strength rather than waiting upon the Lord and seeking the Lord's way of serving others. Where we would want, as the disciples say, Jesus, increase our faith. Jesus answers them. It's not about quantifying your faith and asking for more, but it is receiving what God has given us. How do we change the world? You heard it from Kristen with the children. Forgive those who have backstabbed you. Forgive those who have betrayed you. Forgive those that you can't even imagine beginning to forgive. Give to them what Jesus first gave to you. God's undeserved riches at Christ's expense, that grace that we receive from the Lord. So Habakkuk lifts up his prayer of complaint, and then he waits upon the Lord. In Luke 17, we're really going to hone in on verses 5 and 6. And in verse 6, Jesus says to his disciples, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. I didn't know much about a mulberry tree before I did a little bit of research this week. I was very familiar with the mustard seed illustration. A mulberry tree is not just this bush that looks like a tree, but its roots go deep and they're gnarled and they're stubborn. Who does that sound like? Me. I'm talking about me, not any of you, not anybody else. The roots of a mulberry tree are stubborn. They are deeply implanted in the ground. Jesus is making a point with this illustration. That which seems impossible to us, no matter how many trustees and how much money and how much equipment we have, this would take a long time by our own strength. Jesus is making a point. If you had faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you could do what looks impossible. Taking the stubborn bush and casting it into the sea like a Jedi trick or something from the Star Wars universe, or Harry Potter with a little flick of the wand and whatever Latin phrase they put with that spell. There you go. Leviosa? Leviosa. All right, I don't know how it is. My daughter's been watching it, so I'm getting better at it. But this is the point that Jesus is making. The power that we have in faith, you already have it. It's not about asking for more faith. You believe in Jesus. You believe that he died to wash you clean of all your sins. You believe that Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus is making the point that you have faith to move mountains. How do we move mountains in our world? By loving those that our sinful nature would define as unapproachable, unreachable, hopeless. Jesus says that no one is a hopeless case. You're going to get sick of the prophet Ezekiel as I ask you again. God takes pleasure in the death of who? No one. No one is a hopeless case to Jesus Christ. Jesus says to his disciples and to us, you already have faith to move a mountain. But it's not what the world would define as moving a mountain, but it is what Jesus defines as moving a mountain. For can you imagine what your witness says, a parent, as a teacher, as a co-worker, giving someone the word of God which brings the dead to life, there is nothing more important, more essential, more vital of preparing somebody to meet their maker in joy than that. This is the business that we are about, sharing the gospel with others, and through charitable efforts that we do alongside people of every stripe and every background for the sake of blessing our neighbors around us, for opportunities to engage them in the name of Jesus and to give them the love of Jesus through our hands, through our words, through our lives. While we await the resurrection, we are here to tell those around us nothing is impossible for Jesus. Nothing is impossible for us to go out with his word of gospel of reconciliation as we serve the needs of those around us. Jesus was constantly teaching about everyday values and practices. The heroic actions, according to Jesus, is to love your neighbor as you love yourself, to love others as Christ first loved you. Hold on to the good news that Jesus has risen from the dead and be ready to pass that on in a moment's notice to all those that God brings along your path. For this is why we're here. This is why we remain on earth after we're baptized, to bless others with the same gospel that we were first blessed with, for God's glory and for the sake of all of our neighbors, those entrusted to our care to pass on the faith, and to those who do not yet believe, that they may come by God's grace to belief, as C.S. Lewis, the former atheist who became a Christian, that they may rejoice in the resurrection with us in the presence of their Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and our minds on Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. Amen.